Okay, I better.
So what are you? Should we do only a flight there, or should we do a flight there and back?
I think you have to do both, and then you just change it. Because you need to change both ticket. You just change the dates.
We're leaving on the 7th.
Yes.
You get your travel approved?
Last night.
Oh, wonderful.
Now we're getting all that stuff done.
So, where are your new
Andy, you're here.
so yours not I as well stay home.
And you've been
Changed the last time it was connected.
yeah, they've I don't know, they've been doing some stuff and they never tell you.
The health AI website is all out of date. I haven't updated the health
or whatever they is looking for.
Is that on the wiki page or on their help page?
Booking.
Yeah.
I did get the YPB.
We don't have to specify.
Yeah.
And then I took the page about the tax.
And you got the. Oh, I better admit some people.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
What are we doing there?
Okay.
This part's less important.
Where am I here? Oh, there we go. Okay, Christian's here. Got a couple people online and I'm recording. Ooh, got to meet one more person.
That's a piece of work regardless. We can say first if you want.
Okay, let's see if I can start my made a couple slides today. Oops, I didn't want to stop on that one. Oh, wow. Oh, and then I got oops. Yeah. And I need to share my screen first. Share screen. Is it not turned on? Okay.
It's pretty black.
Pretty black. Did you see something earlier? It's black
just
right
the,
now.
The power button. There you go.
Okay, now it's coming on. Slideshow. Start from current slide. Ooh, there we go. You see that?
Got HDMI 1. HDMI 1.
It's virtually right.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You got to select the
core. Can I say as part of travel?
Is the cord still messed up? Because I got them to give me a new cord. Did it come? Okay. So it is the cord, huh? And we have to hide recording controls. Okay. Should we talk about the SEM a little bit? I got a couple slides here I put together, and then we can look at some more data. And I put a picture I found of the SEM. Let's see, what am I talking? SEM? WCM. Water content meter. From SEA. And I showed a probe head here and then the big box. And one of the things is this big box needs to sit out in the hot wire boom itself. So it has to sit inside of here. And that's why there's only a limited room for this. But it's such a big box also because it supplies a lot of power to the wires on it. So I want to make a point of how much in my slides overlays are not right. How we ever get this right. But anyway, this is a picture of the I hate to mess up. Anyway, the square should be down lower. Focus on this one here. This is the total water content that's concaved in. And then this is the wire, the old 83 size wire. That's the same size as a King probe. And this is concaved in to get the total water. And then the compensator is along the top here. So this compensator is not supposed to get any water or ice impacting on it. And then we run these wires here at 140 Celsius. And the main thing that I want to show is if you look at the maximum amount of water content that you can measure. So this goes back to the extremes of the instruments. What's the limitation of the instruments? So on the small side, it's a sensitivity to see the change with just a few particles impacting it. On the upper end, it's the amount of heat you can supply to keep that temperature constant. And it depends on the airspeed. So why does the maximum water content go down with higher airspeeds?
Can you say that question again?
Why does the maximum water content that you can measure with the instrument go down as with higher airspeeds? If you go to 300 meters per second, or 280, 300 meters per second, you only have 5 grams per meter cubed. Where if you're down at 150, you got 10 grams. So why? So someone online, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're sampling a larger volume, right? So you would need to increase the power to keep that wire at the same temperature, right?
Well, you're kind of on white lines, I think. I'm not sure that it's directly related to the sample volume per se, though. Because think of what the dry term is. Because remember, you have to sample what's in you have power that you have to give to the dry term to keep that wire there, which depends on the airspeed, right? So remember the equation with the density and the airspeed. So as your airspeed goes up, you basically conduct more air, heat away from the element. So you move, removing more energy from that wire. So you don't have that energy to keep heating up that wire as much if you do get water on the probe. Does that kind of make sense? If you remember what the true airspeed was.
So are you saying it's solely related to the dry portion of it?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking is it's a dry term that you have to supply it more. If you have, because it's a gram per meter cubed. If you're going in faster, I guess, yes, you'll be. Am I right about that? You're impacting.
Well, I think what you're saying makes sense, but it would also make sense that the wet side of this would have an effect as well if you're sampling more liquid. You have to supply more power to keep that at 140 degrees. I guess I'm having a hard time trying to see why the liquid water content wouldn't have an effect as well.
Oh, you're trying to see why the liquid water. Well, let's go back and look at the equation as. And I need to write up some of the equations So you got the power for the dry and power for the wet. And liquid water content for the power term. See, in a dry term, you have the velocity or the true airspeed enter into the equation.
You have that in the wet term as well.
Through the sample volume, you're saying.
Well, the velocity shows up in both of them.
Yeah, it is, I guess, a velocity in there too, yeah. So I guess it's also to, So you got times it by density with the X term. And so I guess if X is smaller, they won't have, if I was looking at the numbers on the next slide, it's like 0.3, 0.4. So it would be less of the dry term and more on the wet term.
Well, I guess here's the way I'm thinking of this. So say you have a cloud with a fixed or constant liquid water content and you fly through it at speed A, it's going to take a certain amount of power. If you fly through that same cloud at a faster rate, it's going to require more power because you're sampling more power per time because you're sampling more liquid water particles over the given time.
Yeah. But I think it's also because if you look at the equations, there's it's in both of the terms, but it's not linear either when you look at the curve on the plots. So it's a combination, I think you're right, of the wet and dry power. But it's not a linear dependence either. So I think you're right. You convinced me that it's both the wet and the dry term power because of the airspeed. So, okay, everybody happy? So, wet and dry term power. So, we got plots here. So, when we're on the P3 aircraft, what's the speed of the aircraft? Anybody remember what the true airspeed of the aircraft rise up? 130, 150. Okay. Well, I made a plot, which is shown here. So I took all the P3 data, plotted all the little points. This is all of impacts 2022. And then I subsetted the data for the total water content from the WCM to be above 0.1 gram. Oops. Sorry, I put that wrong. 0.01 grams, not 0.1. I need to update my slide. I forgot my zero. So just a little bit of water. So put an extra zero in there. So that we're in cloud. And then I looked at the pressure and you see down low, they fly slower. And then I put the range. So I put the average. So 134 is the mean. And gave you the standard deviation of about 20 meters per second. But I also gave the 5 and 95 percentiles. So 90% of the data is between 111 and 173. And if you look at the upper part of it, there's really no data above 190 meters per second. So I take it that we have above 7 grams per meter cubed for the maximum on the aircraft. Sure. But it's really the, is that a true airspeed? That would be the
greater than 7?
Yeah, but it's the true airspeed that would be go back into the equation.
Well, it's true airspeed times density.
Yeah. Well, in the one part, in the dry term, but not in the wet term.
Is it less than 7? Greater than 7?
So greater than 7. I don't know how I should.
Less than 7. 7 is the max. Maybe.
Oh. Yeah, 7 is the max. So, oh, I got that wrong too. It's less than 7 grams. All right, I need to update my slides. Less than 7 grams.
That's pretty high anyway.
Yeah. So that's really high. So let's look at how high that is. Because I was going to make some more plots, but every time I do some plots, I keep looking at this data set and let's see here if I can Can I move this? Make it smaller. Okay, I'll make it. I don't know how to do this. If you guys can't see, can you see that? Hey, okay. I just reprocessed the, hopefully the last of the data. I keep removing data from this file. Let me go back. Maybe you guys can follow along on your laptops. And I remade a new, that was the 19th. Copy flight data 2022. I keep finding problems to put into NASA summary. Oops. NASA, and then I go to the summary file, and let me make my combined data file again, cat all the files together, and I rename them so that we don't have the combined one. And I use the first one, the NASA with the impacts 2022.impacts. I don't know. I got to remove all my okay, search 47.1.0.0.1. Remove all my header files. And let's look out and see. Oops. See plot two. Let's look at the data and see what we have for the liquid water. I think I still have one more. I'm on a King probe data, but let's see what we have for the King probe. Come on. Yeah. And of course I should adjust my plots. Do you want stars or dots?
This is all the hot
wire things. This is all the hot wire probe data. And there's one more here that goes up to this 5.6 that I don't believe from one of the flights that I still need to take out. So I have this one here because I always seems to get these spikes when it first comes on, and I try to take out all that data, particularly when you're changing airspeed and rising, it doesn't really get that data very well. And I don't know if I want to remake it, make the prop bigger, but so then the other thing is most of the time is, let me zoom in a little bit on this axis. Let's go from the y-axis to be from minus 0.5. If I can put 5 in there. And I'll just go up to about 2. So in our clouds, we should not have very much They get that.
Do you want negative 0.5 or 0.5?
I want a negative, and I forgot my negative signs. Minus. Let's try this. So you can see the. So there's two, and there's this one peak here. And you see the below values here. There's one here and one here and a couple very small ones. So we don't have big negative values, but these ones come with you try to adjust the baseline. And the problem with this is that I'm using the CDP data to tell me when I'm in and out of crowd. And there's no data on the CDP, so it thinks it's out of crowd, but we still have, I think, actual liquid water on a King probe. So if you look in the last flight of each month, then what are the problematic ones? So do I want to steal my thunder? Let's keep looking at some more data. I'll plot the King Pro, I'll plot the CDP data on the same scale. So you see the CDP never gets negative values because we never get a negative droplet or, so an antiparticle here, no measurements of that. So there's a peak here and you can see the other one we have now is the WCM. And let's put this on here. So you see the WCM, it also has a little negative value in here. And it's actually on the same time and day, but it's not as bad as the King probe. This is a liquid water. So the obvious thing to do is plot the one, and then I can overlay the other value. Maybe. Oops, and then I forgot on my values here, I should put this as points again. Let me try that again. So you got the black on here, and then the blue will be the liquid water from so you see the same, if you go look at it, it's the January 31st flight, 30th, 31st, when was the last? Yeah, 31st of January there was a flight, I can't remember. 29th? Okay, maybe it was the 29th. So there's both of the adjustments aren't quite working here, but that might kick these values down because we, if you have your, if it goes below zero, what it really should be doing is raising up all them values. So if you're down by the couple tenths, you're too low. But there's some agreement between the two. If you look kind of per flight, some is better than this. And you'll see it if I plot the total water content. So this is a total water content from the WCM with the overlaid with the liquid. So typically the liquid is a little bit lower. doesn't get up as high. And of course, this is all the flight data if you look at the ones together. So what do we do about this with a negative values here? Should we go look at that a little bit? Oh yeah, and for Jen's thing, I took out all the first flight on January 6th. This all that data is no good. Yeah, so we took out all that because it will, the real time data processing wasn't getting airspeed on that day. So anyway, that was a summary. But if I look at the 29th, so it might be easy to look at one data file because we have some problems. But I think, so then it's, the users are going to be all confused because why do you have these negative values? Let's see, do we want to look at the king first? So here's the king probe. But if you look at this, it's less than 0.1, I guess. But it's pretty significant. And if we do the WCM, I will lay that. So the WCM seems to be better. Doesn't get quite as low on these time periods. Is that big enough for you guys? You want it bigger? Probably okay. So you still have these little values here. But you see that these are all, you know, is this real data in terms of the values? Particularly in here, I can zoom in. Let's look at this section of the flight. So there you can kind of see the WCM tracks pretty well with it, but they both have problems with these negative values in here. So we did put in the in cloud frag. How do I plot that? Part of this before. So it goes from 0 to 1, 1 being that you're in cloud. So these are the in cloud areas. And so if I go back and overlay.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Can you remind me where the in cloud flag comes from? What determines that?
It comes from, in this case, the crowd droplet probe, which is what I was going to get to, is if you plot the CDP data, let me change the CDP, so it's a good question. Get that. So there's the CDP data. So you can see where the red and the black overlay. So in this case, I'm using the CDP to determine that we're in cloud, which seems to do okay if you're in nice puffy cumulus clouds that you have the data. But here you know you have some values like maybe we should focus in on what a smaller section of one of these. Do we want this crowd? This is where it's negative. Red is the CDP, liquid water. The blue is the WCM, liquid water. And the black is the in crowd flag, where one is that you're in crowd for it. So I think what's going on, I think I need to go and let's look at let's look at this time period again. And let's go back and I will plot the in crowd flag in black. So there's the in crowd flag. And then in blue, let me plot the WCM liquid water. And you see that it's not there's some response here. For example, in a WCM, where it says there's a cloud right here, maybe up to maybe 0.2, 0.1. That there's no CDP data for, or the CDP is not showing any. You want me to plot the CDP?
What's the threshold on the CDP concentration?
We do. Good question. It is 20 seconds period with an average, I think, of. It's pretty low, like one or number per cubic centimeter or something.
Can you do it on water amount, not droplet
number? I do it on droplet number. Number concentration. And so it really, yeah, so I can look at the code, but it's basically it's basically zero on the CDP, because if you plot the CDP, I need to put this in red. So you see right here, there's really zero. That's an absolute zero liquid water. So it's measuring no particles from 0 to 50 microns.
And blue is liquid water or total?
Blue is liquid. So, is it liquid that's above 50 microns?
Could it be ice? It's...
could be ice. We could plot up the total water content. What color you want the total water content in? Green? This will probably mess it up a little bit because so this total, I'll put back the blue. So the total water content is not much more than the liquid.
But it could be an artifact. It might not be really liquid. It could be an artifact of ice cream. Supposed to be liquid.
Yes, but usually when we see that, it's only a hundredth. This is an artifact that's like 0.15.
I'm used to bigger artifacts.
Yeah.
So what's right?
Oh, good question. Yeah, what's right? So is this real liquid? I mean, that's what Andy's saying. Well, it might be ice. Is it real liquid? Because you got two probes. You got the total. That's not much more. But you got two probes that are both telling you it. But then the CDP is not seeing any droplets. So
compared to the other probes.
Yeah. So what other probes do you look at?
2DS.
2DS, yes. So
CPI.
Yeah, so we can look at the images from the 2DS. So this is a good time period. What is it? It's about 2500. You could look here. We do have the 2DS data, I think, for this flight. I saw some data. We could look at that. We'll look at the images for that time.
What day is the
29th? Did someone want to pull up that data?
I'm pulling up the CPI.
Well, you like the CPI. See if there's drone droplets.
I already have the.
So let me zoom in a little bit more on this. I guess we got this one here. That's the question. So let me do this small cloud and I'll go back to, let's see, I gotta plot my in cloud flag. And let me plot over. Okay, we're putting blue. Well, let me put the red and green and put in the total water content. And then in blue, I'll put the that, and then in red we will put in the CDP. So this crowd has a little bit of CDP. Okay, do you want to share your screen?
Yeah.
You want to change?
I need to log on.
And do you have the meeting one?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody remember that. Christian's going to show us the... the crystals.
So that's WCM, liquid, and total?
Yeah, mine is the... The green is the total. The blue is the liquid, and the red is the CDP.
Oh, you move it out to the big
screen. Oh, you want to show you guys? Okay, let me see how I can move it. So you're sharing your screen, so it's on the recordings. Everybody online can see Christian's CPI images. So you see any liquid droplets? There's all these big ones.
It looks like it's mainly ice and shattered ice. This is equivalent to 2505.
Did you, I need, oops. 2505, yeah.
And this is 1 minute data.
So 2505 should work good.
And this is,
Well, you got out of big droppers. I can't see them small. What are dinky ones in here?
There were these ice crystals are on the order of a millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why the CDP is not picking it up. But the WCM is.
So it's all ice contamination?
But it sure looks like we're in cloud.
Well, yeah, in cloud, yes. So that's the one question is, at least before we figure out if this is real water ice, we are definitely in cloud. So I think this goes back to the original question of if we, let me share my screen again.
The other hot wires changing.
The king does also, if you want me to overweight a king. I don't know if I want this to go away, but let's see. King, I can put in gold. So there's the king. So that shows a little bit different response between the two crowds. Not as high. But, you know, the king probe is higher here. And it's lower here. So what's the right answer here?
I think you have two instruments agreeing that it's in cloud, three instruments agreeing that it's in cloud, where the CDP says it's not in cloud.
Yeah. So that goes back to the in cloud frag.
Do you use it?
Well, this when you do these in cloud corrections. The code allows you to use the concentration from an imaging probe. Right now, it only uses the DMT cloud imaging probe, the CIP. But like you said, we have the 2DS. So we could take the 2DS and look at the concentrations to determine when we're in cloud or not. But what size range should you go over? To zero back out. Because if the CDP doesn't say it's in cloud, and you look at like a 2DS, and then you can look at a concentration, but what size range? You look 50 to 200 microns and use a, and pick 200 because that's where the sensitivity of the hot wires tend to fall off. So you go.
Do you not use the CPI?
Well, it doesn't give you a very good concentration measurement. So why would you use the CPI?
Just add more.
Well, you can look at the images, but you don't have as many particles. You have a better concentration measurements with the 2DS. So you can take the 2DS.
HPPS for the larger ones?
Yeah, but then the hot wire probes aren't sensitive to the large particles, supposedly.
Well, the WCM's picking up these particles, and according to the CPI, they're on the range between 500 and...
Yeah, but them on the big ones, it also shows you a lot of small particles.
But those might be shattered particles.
Well, it might be. But we can look at 2DS, too. The external 2DS will give you a better idea because that doesn't have the shattering issue so much. But we could also look at the Phipps probe to see if there's water droplets in here. So it's a contamination issue of the ice shattering, and it really should be zero liquid water, and that's all just ice contamination on the...
So the ice would get stuck in that concave zone with the zone of the WCM?
That's what it's supposed to do.
Well, the big ones...
The big ones don't.
But the hot wire, the non-concave, fragile ice crystals smashing against them, they break up into small pieces and they all evaporate. Indicate, you know, take away some energy.
So you would want a value for total water, but it's zero for liquid water in a perfect world.
I don't know. What's the answer? I can make an algorithm to match the answer if you tell me the answer, but so this is what Jen's going to do for thesis. She won't graduate unless she tells us the answer.
Oh, this is your thesis?
So,
she
will be by the time she graduates. So we can look at the 2DS to see, but the one thing is we can fix the baseline at least. Using in crowd frag so that we don't get negative values. But we have to send that data into the correction algorithm so that the in crowd gets fragged not from just the 2D, not just from the CDP, but also from the 2DS.
What are you going to do if so, like, liquid, you can have large liquid water drops, you can have very small super cool liquid water drops. So,
but Christian, what's the question?
I'm trying to figure that out. You can look at the other instruments for that sizing threshold, but how do you tell if it's, how do you say, oh, it's a large liquid water drop, but how would you tell from the 2DS that it's either liquid or ice?
You can't.
So you're never going to get a, you know, perfect.
Look at the scattering phase function from the Phipps.
Couldn't use that.
So,
yeah,
but the other thing we have is the whisper data to see what we compare it to. So Darren sent us the whisper data. So we'll put that in the format, stick it into the file, and then we'll have another liquid water. So it's, it's a counterflow virtual impactor with a Bacall water vapor sensor behind it.
Does it measure the different isotopes?
Yeah, I can do that too. But mainly is to get the water content. So
what do? You just combine all these instruments to...
Well, then that's what happens when people get the data and they compare it to a model. Or what? I mean, what's the value of the liquid water? And of course, you know, maybe do we, you know, that there's uncertainty. So, you know, is it 0.1 or 0.2?
But whether to tell if you're in cloud or not, you could definitely make that parameter so much better.
Yeah.
By incorporating making conditional statements in the code.
Yeah. So I just add the 2DS concentrations, and I take some concentration from 50 to 200 micron. And
just using numbers, CPI gives you the idea of how fragile or robust the snowflakes, ice particles might be. Make an ice ball and bounce off the hot wire probes, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Have a smaller signal than these plate like dendrites that you've got to shatter.
Oh. Or do we use the higher concentrations and do some other fancy correction algorithms? What's the, so I'll leave this brought up. So never ending set of, and so then my question is, once you get so complex with your algorithm, are you going to remember what happens? Because you have the WCM that has an autocode flag that corrects the data with some threshold values. And then sometimes it's using the CDP data when it's available. But if it's, the CDP data is not available, then we use the fast CDP data, right? Okay, and then we use the 2DS, but the 2DS is not all available. So when you look at a particular flight, no one's gonna know how it's processed.
Yeah, they
got
it.
Well, where do you decide to make a parameter? So have like in cloud for CDP, in cloud for FCDP, and in cloud for 2DS.
Yeah, and then you're gonna explain this to someone wants to use a liquid water concentration measurement.
Yeah,
you can just do a bunch of if statements.
Yeah.
And then put it all in the metadata. You can change it based on whatever happens in your process all impact script.
Yeah, you can do it. So it's really the code that has to define it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because every, you can't come up with, the CDP works fine if you're in cumulus clouds and you're in and out of them. But you're going to have different thresholds, different algorithms to do a winter storm and get the baseline correct. So at some point, you really don't know and you can't really explain with equations and flow charts exactly how it works. Because we write a paper, this is how this 2022 data was processed. But is that valuable when you would process another data set with something else? Do you just say, oh, I don't really care that much. You know, we got these negative values, you just accept them. But if you're looking at a particular case, you want to do better. And then how do you explain this to a novice? Like, how do you have 0.1 or negative liquid water?
I didn't know we were bouncing back to the negatives.
Yeah, well, that's here. It's nice and stable. We don't have any negative values, but up in the next crowd pass, you get some negative values. Do you want to look at them?
And we're in cloud when we're getting the negative values.
Yeah, so I'll show you the negative values. I gotta do my time interval. So this is one time. Okay, so this is 90, 91, 020. So I'll start with this one and do 300 seconds, 91, 320. So that should give me 5 minutes of data. And now I need to have the same setup, my in crowd frag. Oh, this is longer. Let's go to 10, 620, 10 minutes of data. There we got some in and out. And let's look at the WCM was what color? Blue?
Yeah.
What overlay? Okay, that one doesn't go negative yet. Well, okay, so I need to do 920. Oops.
You have to do the thing you file right now.
Yeah, I did this wrong. In cloud. What? Okay, I'm doing I need to I have no idea how long how long a period I should go. I suppose I should look at the should be good, he says. And I have this in blue. What overlay I want to get. So here's your negative values. Is this, what are bits of data? Do you want me to show you on a different scale? It's a little bit hard to see what this is. This would be, let's go to minus. Zero 0.5, and let's go to 0.25. And so this,
I bet you this was the case where we were flying.
Oops.
Bubbles at the top, in and out. Because look at it, like it's just gaps and then super cool water gaps.
Yeah, what time is this? 25:30?
Just yeah, right at the tops of the clouds?
Yeah, there were several times where we're in cloud, out of cloud, 5 seconds, like in 5 second intervals.
Yeah.
Because we're skimming the generating cell.
So there is the data that is fragged. You know, if you look here, this is pretty low noise. You know, but here, I'm not doing very well because I'm not getting a zero here. So these should be a little bit higher.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because we were turning at 25, 27. We didn't did our turn until 25, 30. 25,
27?
That's when we started our turn.
So that's some place in here.
And then we were at 8,000 feet and we climbed to 10,000 feet.
During the turn?
Yes.
So is that why this one is bad? Is that we got turns in here and that affects the power?
I'm not sure. Because then afterwards it says we hit at 25:35, super cool of the water.
Probably speeding up too.
But these are what stand out. And it's worse than a king probe. If I do the king overlay, what was king that was green? King. There's a king probe, but the king has a little bit different offsets. but they have negative values. This makes me want to throw out all the negative data. But again, is some, you know, is this ice contamination before we get in it on a CDP?
Starting out what time? 23. Yeah. Well, when the numbers start becoming negative, like 20.
On the left side, there's this PDT is the thing. I know cloud ground is green and blue lines.
Well, the king is the green is the king probe. If I go to CDP, I put that in red. Yeah, so you got 0.1 plus or minus 50% or 100%. It's somewhere from 0 to 0.2.
So it's tough, at least for the CPI. It's mostly supercooled liquid water, but there's times where there are large rind ice particles. But the thing is, what I was saying before, there's gaps in the CPI data. Obviously, you have a lower sampling rate with the CPI, but it's mainly supercooled water. But there's intervals in here, 5 second, 10 second intervals, where there's no data.
Yeah, well, there's gaps in these crowds too, and you know, if we want the supercooled water, I could try to put on a new window and plot the frequency from the icing probe. See what that make. Oh, here we go. And I've got to auto scale.
So the thing is, you in real time get negative liquid water for the king of the WCM, but we zero out that stuff while we're fine.
Oh, while you're fine.
But it doesn't obviously, so when you zero out the thing, it doesn't put that up.
It's not something that's like, yeah, the C valve and spit out, but
yeah.
There's what's no possible way to monitor something like this.
I would say not to my knowledge.
So this is the frequency from the hot wire. Oh, sorry, the frequency from the rice probe. So it was cycling pretty good here.
Yeah. We were fine for a lot of super cool water.
Yeah. So now I need to get my algorithm working to calculate the rate of change of this frequency and calculate a liquid water from that. So when we have three liquid waters, it's confusing enough. We'll put the liquid water from the rice probe and we'll put the liquid water from the whisper probe. And then you have five.
Can you tell if liquid and whisper?
You're measuring water. Did it have a difference between water and ice?
Well, that was the thing when we were talking on the plane, when we would get into supercooled water, they would get a signal on their probe. We would constantly be talking about,
yeah,
I'm seeing another spike. And then, what's his name again? I'm seeing one too. So yeah.
But I think they,
their spike is correlated.
But I think there was a way that they, did they distinguish the hydrometeors between what? I don't think they do. I think they just get a total, right?
Though I know, yeah, but like when on the plane,
yeah,
we were discussing how it would be good to compare the two,
yeah,
especially during.
So we can put the total, I guess, but that won't really tell you But of course, you know, I guess in this cloud, it's there's an indication that it has to be liquid because the CDP sees something. So they all see.
You can see right at the beginning of them. How are you focusing something in the CDP is not?
Yeah. So right here, there's something. So why is that? Both of the hot wire probes. But again, it's only at 0.05 grams. It's not very much. But it's, you know, if you look at this port.
Yeah, that's weird because you know, that what you're looking at right now. Well.
So it gets really messy when you have all these confusing.
2517 is according to CPI as always. 2516.
So this.
You have dead data for the first 30 seconds and when it's placed.
Yeah. But this is, all, you know, this is a very good cycling. So there's obviously some super cooled liquid water in here.
Yes. At 118. 2518, it's essentially also the water, which corresponds to where the spikes start occurring.
So you see how complicated this is. You got to look at like five different instruments to really diagnose what's going on.
Good statements.
Yeah, but it goes back to what, you know, someone wants to know, like, what is the liquid water here? Is it 0.1 or 0.2 or what? Any comments online looking at this data? Confusing? Useful?
Confusing, yes.
I would think it would just be up to that person's interpretation.
But they don't want to become an expert on the probes, right? They just, I want to compare to my model. I want to compare to the radar.
Which difference does it make whether it's 0.1 or 0.1?
Yeah. A lot of times it doesn't.
I just don't know what you do with a negative data.
Well, I can get that, I think, to come a little bit better by putting in a in-crowd frag with the 2DS.
So that would then just bump up that?
And bump everything up.
Okay. But in this one, you have big amplitude difference between the WCM and the King.
Yeah, the King and the WCM seem to be quite different on this one. King seems to be a lot higher. But the King also has a lot more fluctuations, so... Again, maybe we have to first get the calibration a little bit better for the King probe.
Does it have anything to do with the timing of zeroing the data?
Well, this is automatically zeroed. The stuff you do in the airplane doesn't matter to this.
What does the stuff in the airplane actually matter to them?
Just the real-time display.
That's it?
Yeah. So that's why, no, if you don't do it, it doesn't matter. It just means that, you know.
You won't be looking at the.
No, it's just, yeah, it's just, yeah, what's displayed in real time. If you want to put it in your notes and you don't have it zeroed correctly.
Right.
But just remember when you write your notes, you know, don't write 0.125. I mean, it's not that accurate, you know. You write 0.1, 0.2.
So right. I guess for next deployment, we can really benefit. We can use the 2DX to aid in this problem.
Yeah. So I need to write the code, or someone needs to write the code to ingest the 2DX for the baseline. When it's available. But then, you know, do we write a paper about trying to explain how you do this adjustment algorithm and how you do it and does it really matter? And but this explains why you have that little offset in the original plot, but it's like 0.05, and I'm just going to say, well, that's a negative value and we could fix that, but for this submission. But when someone comes back and says, why do you have that?
What's the general consensus, whether you're in cloud or out of cloud, from other papers? It's just,
I don't know.
Whatever they have.
Tell me your definition of a crowd. You know, what do you define as a...
Well, I'm just saying, because when I did my thesis stuff, I used the Missouri.
Yeah.
There was nothing else that I compared to.
So that's your definition. And so, but then it gets confusing too. Like if we submit this data set, well, the crowd definition depends on what data is available.
Yeah, but which you can put in the metadata. Because the more stuff you're going to add, the more accurate it's going to be.
Well, yeah, but you switch between the CDP and the FCDP.
Right.
And I don't really, the only way you can't see that just from the data. Because you have to know what's available. And so when the CDP, you know, unless I put another flag in that, oh, this is...
You can do that for the daily files, for each flight file. You can change the metadata, but if you were to combine all the data files, it won't be...
Is any user ever going to go back and care and look at, you know, how you determine if you're in crowd or out of crowd?
I mean, it's a simple check, but if it's not right initially and people are looking at it to define flight lengths, for example, then you're going to have to keep looking and looking and looking. But if you have it right the first time...
Well, I have the in crowd flag given here, so we include that in the data set, but exactly how that's arrived at.
Right.
So this is why at some point I get to, you know, define your algorithm, and I'm just like, well, in general sense, it tells you that, you know, we use the CDP and FCDP and to get the data. And if you want to know the details, go look at the code. All right. Well, we should let everybody go. I'll try to get some more stuff for Thursday.
I just have one small comment.
Yeah,
Do you guys have video camera in the pilot's cabin?
Not on this project.
Oh, okay. So bad.
I would show on this one. Is it your?
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's the one that looks down and. Yeah, I guess there is. Sorry, I don't. Yeah, we don't have one of the poles, but we have a down-looking camera and the other one. But basically, it just will show you a lot of white most of the time.
Okay. It's not high resolution or something like that?
No, it's like it's like one frame a second. One frame every
time. Oh, terrible. Okay.
But I don't know where... that data is.
I don't know if they even know.
It's like on air. Obviously, it's stored somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever put it in the archive.
So that's like Mayan's group, yeah. The network. That's their stuff.
Insert.
Yeah. So you'll probably find it with their. I'm not sure how fast they process that though.
Well, I think, yeah, like they do give it an image a second or something.
Because like on the display, it's like,
yeah,
it's probably even less than that. It's probably so, like 2 or 3 seconds.
But the main point is you have uncertainties in your data and they don't all agree, and take it with a grain of salt to if it's 0.1 or 0.2 sometimes. And there's ice contamination issues that are there and other things. So, I mean, even in this, you know, it's a lot of super cooled water in this one here, but there's probably some in these other ones too, as you see the CDP and stuff. So anyway, I think the other lesson too is just to, if you just don't want to care about all these details and just work with someone else that can know if it matters to your data. So yeah, I need to write that code. So maybe I'll get that will be the next code we talk about. So let's see, I stopped that. Yeah, so if you want, just look at the WCM. Forget. Yeah. Are there questions online?
What has the latest technology in the Williams?
Well, the WCM is a new probe, right? Got to be better. Use the WCM. I'll go to my workshop. That's what I say. Use the WCM. But it's not perfect. It's better than King, it seems like. Anybody else got anything? Should we go on and we'll try to talk later? Okay, I'm gonna let everybody go. No one's saying anything. I will end this. See you later.